The revival continue as we continue in the Word of God. So Mark chapter 7, as we get back to our study of the Gospels. Mark chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 15, the events here basically come on the heels of John chapter 6. And so remember, we're trying to get as chronological as we can. There are a few things that may be a little bit out of order. We do the best that we can because it's not exactly perfectly clear in the Gospels, exactly the order of things, and some things are in a little different order in different books. But when we get to those, we usually let Luke be the kind of the baseline, the guide for that, because he writes in the beginning of Luke, "These things have I set in order," and so he claims to set them in order, and so we see that truth there. So we kind of let that be the judge when there is any discrepancies as far as chronology goes, but. Best we know, the events here in Matthew chapter 15 and where we're going to look today in Mark chapter 7 took place right on the heels of John chapter 6. And you remember in John chapter 6, Jesus spent time going back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. And he goes over here a little while and goes over there a little while. And now he's back on that western side of the coast. And we'll find that some people come looking for Jesus. People come looking for Jesus. Mark chapter 7, and we want to learn tonight about those whose heart are far from the Lord. Let's stand, if you're able, please. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" Our Heavenly Father, please give us understanding of your word tonight. Please help us to rightly divide the word of truth and to apply the truths to our lives. Lord, help us to be convicted in our hearts by your Spirit. Help us to be obedient to your word, Lord. And I pray that whatever decisions we need to make tonight will be made for your glory. Please help me now, and please bless your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You'll notice that I prayed whatever decisions we need to make, because I believe when the word of God is open, we all need to make decisions. No matter where we're at in our life, we need to make decisions. Whether it's the decision to trust Christ as Savior, whether it's the decision to be scripturally baptized, whether it's the decision to start studying your Bible better or to make a change or stop doing some sin, whatever it is, we all need to make decisions. We have not arrived. I've told you so many times, unless you are exactly like Jesus Christ, you are still needing to grow. There's room to grow. There's room for improvement. Christ is the goal. But there were some people in Jesus' day that thought they had arrived. They thought they had it all figured out. They thought that they were exactly what they needed to be, and anyone that wasn't just like them was a mess. And they found it in their they found it to be their calling in life to go around and find people who weren't doing exactly what they were doing and tell them how wrong they were. These are the ones that we read about tonight. They came from Jerusalem. The Pharisees and certain of the scribes, they came from Jerusalem to find Jesus. And where he was would have been around 90 or 100 miles away. And so they took a 100-mile trip, no doubt by foot, maybe by camel or some other animal. But they took this 100-mile trip to find Jesus. Now that sounds like a good thing, but the reality is they didn't come there to find Jesus to learn from him. They didn't come to find Jesus to follow him. They came to find Jesus to argue against him, to dispute with him, to try to find fault with him, and to find fault with his disciples. Their purpose wasn't they've heard the truth about Christ and they want to follow him. No, What they want to do is be against him, be at odds with him. And you know, some people will go at great lengths. They'll go to great lengths to show other people where they're wrong. And I just want to encourage you to spend less time finding fault with other people and spend more time finding how you can be more like Jesus yourself. I don't know that anybody has to go too far to try to find fault with others in our world today. Most of you can just pull out your phone and open your Facebook app. And we can spend hours finding fault with other people. And I know how some of you are. You see the debates raging and people accusing or else excusing one another on Facebook. And most of you are able to just pass that on by. But some of you get sucked into it. And I just want to tell you, it's of no benefit. It's of no benefit. It's of no benefit on social media. It's of no benefit at your work or your school or in your family. It's not helpful to try to find fault. But that's what they were. They were the fault-finding Pharisees. And here's the reality. In Proverbs 20 and verse 6, the Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Most every man will proclaim their own goodness. We look at our own lives and we see what's right with us. It's easy to see what's right with us, and it's easy to see what's wrong with other people. But when we study the scriptures, we rightly look at the Pharisees and say, those guys were a bunch of knuckleheads and they shouldn't have been that way. But we would do well to look at them and make sure that what we're doing in our lives isn't Pharisaical. And I want to tell you, I've been a missionary Baptist my whole life, and I'm proud to be a missionary Baptist. I'm thankful to be a missionary Baptist. I believe that we have been standing on the truths of the Word of God that many of our Baptist brethren have departed from in the last 100 years and 60 years and 50 years and 40 years. They've departed from the faith that we have held dear for centuries. And I'm proud of that. I'm thankful for that. Now, it's not an egotistical pride. I'm grateful for the Word of God. I'm grateful we can stand on His truths. I'm grateful that His truths don't change. But I want to tell you that as a missionary Baptist my whole life, I've also seen a lot of Pharisaical missionary Baptists who go around with their nose up at the air looking down on everyone else and seeing fault in everyone else. And listen, friends, we don't want to be like that. Our goal is not to find fault in other people, but to help people to come to Christ. Do we find fault in others? I mean, do we find fault even sometimes where there is no fault? Do we make mountains out of molehills? Do you all know what that means? That's one of the earliest phrases I learned in my life. My mother taught me from a very young age what I was doing was making mountains out of molehills. I was good at it then, and I'm still good at it today. Listen, we are Pharisaical in so many ways, friends. We will strain at a gnat, but we'll swallow a camel. What was it that got them so upset? When they showed up finding Jesus and they saw his disciples, they ate bread, wait for it, but they didn't wash their hands first. Now, some of you cringe at the thought of eating anything without washing your hands first. How many of you is that tonight? I'm looking. Some of you put your hands up. I know. Got to have the hand sanny in the car. Right? But you got to understand, this wasn't a hygiene issue. This wasn't a health concern. This was their understanding from the tradition of the elders. This wasn't something in the law. There was a calling, a provision in the law for certain ceremonial things that the priest would wash his hands before they did things, but they took that and they ran with it. They took it and applied it to so many different things. They say, according to Matthew Henry, that the rule of the rabbis of Jesus' day was this, that if they washed their hands well in the morning, the first thing they did, it would serve for all day, provided they kept alone. I like that. Wash them once and you're good. Amen. Take one shower a week, you're good. He said, but But if they went into company, they must not at their return either eat or pray till they wash their hands. In other words, if you wash your hands real good in the morning, stay away from other people, then you can eat and you don't have to wash your hands again. But if you get around other people, then you got to wash your hands. Then they said, by doing that, they gained a reputation among people for their sanctification, and they exercised and kept up an authority over other people because they were so sanctimonious. And they added to this the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels, which they suspected had been made use of by heathens or persons polluted, or even the very tables on which they ate their meals. There were many cases in which by the law of Moses washings were appointed, but they added to them and enforced the observation of their own impositions, and they did it against the law of God. I want you to get this. It wasn't about being clean. It wasn't about hygiene. It was about their judgment of other people. See, this was a heart issue, not a health issue. So what they did was if they got around anybody they thought was unclean or dirty, they acted differently. Do you guys get that? The Pharisees and scribes got around somebody that they thought was a little different, somebody that they didn't think was like them, somebody that they thought was unclean. They treated them differently. I wonder how many of us have been guilty of that right here in the church. See, we need to be careful. See, we look at the Pharisees, and I mean, I don't know how it is with you. Just the name Pharisee has a negative connotation to me. I hear Pharisees; those guys are awful. But if we're not careful, we can be just like them. They saw them eat with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, and they found fault. That's what they did. They found fault. But I want you to know that their hypocrisy was prophesied of some 800 years before. If you look, please, at verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And to this day, the Jews in Israel, and when Mike and Artisa went over there, they came back, they shared a lot of this stuff. But even to this day, they have added to and expounded upon the law. And they have all kinds of rules of what you can and cannot do on a day-to-day basis, especially on the Sabbath day. And they have added to these things the traditions of men, and they honor their traditions above the very word of God. Friends, that's a problem. And I want you to listen to me, because as good missionary Baptist people, sometimes if we're not careful, we will honor the traditions of ourselves over the very word of God. That ought to be a terrifying thing. We have our traditions. I like our traditions. But I love the word of God. I like our traditions. I like the way we do things. I'm used to it. It's comfortable. And sometimes comfortable is okay. Sometimes comfortable is awful. And when we make changes in the church about the way we do things, if we make changes about the way, the processes, the things that we do, if it's just tradition we're changing, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. If we're changing the word of God, that's a big problem. Amen. But if we, in order to keep our traditions, are ignoring the truth of the word of God or a commandment of God, we're in big trouble. And so we need to be careful about what we do. We need to think about the things that we do and be careful to not have this kind of hypocrisy. I want to take a minute to go to Isaiah chapter 29, if you'd hold your place here in Mark and look at Isaiah 29, because I want you to see the prophecy where the Lord is quoting from. Isaiah 29. Now, where he's quoting from in Isaiah 29 is actually verse 13, but we're going to back up and pick up at verse 9. So Isaiah 29 and verse 9. It's kind of a scary thing to be such a big hypocrite that God prophesied of it some 800 years before. And that's exactly what happened. Isaiah 29 and verse 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. And so the Lord is prophesying about judgment on Israel when they would be blinded to the truth of the word of God. When they would not see it. I can read, but it's sealed up. I can't read. You can show me the truth, but I can't see it. And the reason they could not see it, the reason they could not understand, is because of their unbelief. God had blinded their eyes. Amen. To the point that when the Messiah himself showed up, they would not see him, they would not recognize him, they would not understand. These are learned men who have the book, but they can't read it. They have the book, but they can't understand it because of their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts. You guys with me? He's talking about the very people who are coming down making accusation against Jesus and his disciples. That's who he's prophesying about. Then in verse 13, he says, Wherefore the Lord saith, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Do you see it? The ones who should have had understanding are blinded. And they don't see it. They honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from God. But I want you to look that the blind and the meek and the lame, they are the ones who are rejoicing in the Lord. Why? Because when Jesus came, they believed on him. And their eyes were opened. They were given understanding. And they saw who he was. They believed in who he was. And they knew this Jesus was the Holy One of Israel. And all the while, these Pharisees who are so religious and so proud, they're over here, blinded and judging other men because they think they're right with God because their outward appearance is so good before men. All the while, the meek and the lame and the blind and the halt and the sinners, who on the outside look so awful. And you got to understand in that culture that because of their outside ailments, because of their infirmities, people thought that they weren't right with God. Well, obviously, if you were blind, that's because you did some sin. You remember the blind man. And the disciples said to Jesus, Who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And what a bunch of idiots. What kind of prenatal sin do you think he did that he was born blind? He kicked his mama too hard. But that's the culture that they had. And so all of these with this outside appearance, that they were so broken and so poor and so needy and so meek, yet they had the truth and they had joy and rejoicing because they had believed on the Holy One of Israel. And though their outward appearance might not have been much, their hearts were right with God. And I just want to remind you tonight, dear friend, it's not about the outward appearance, it's about the heart. The Pharisees and scribes were like whited sepulchers. On the outside, they were clean and white and looked so good, but on the inside, they were full of dead men's bones. Well, verse 6, well hath Isaiah, back in Mark 7, verse 6, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We have a different connotation to the word hypocrites today. But the word hypocrite literally means to answer back. And what it was a reference to was the stages where they put on what we would call today a play in theater. And an actor on a stage, someone would give them a line and they would reply back to that line. You've seen that before. When the play's going on and somebody forgets their line and the director whispers their line. Like the little boy in the Christmas play. And his mom was trying to help and he couldn't remember his line. And his line was, I am the light of the world. And so she was whispering, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And he brightened up and he goes, my mom is the light of the world. The word hypocrite is to answer back. It's like the player on the stage repeating back what they've been told. Somebody says something and they answer back. And the hypocrites always had something to say back to the Lord. You see, when your heart is right with God, your mouth gets stopped before God. But the hypocrites never got it. They never shut their mouths. They were always making accusation, always questioning, and always trying to cause trouble for the Lord. But the people who got saved were the people who, when they met Jesus, they shut up. And they simply humbled themselves before the Lord. They listened to what He had to say. And so we need to be careful that we listen. It's a scientific fact proven by my children. That if you're talking, your ears don't work. And so they couldn't hear because they were always talking, always answering back. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. What a tragedy. May we never lay aside the commandment of God for anything. And then we see the rejection. This is their rejection of the commandments for tradition. Goes on in verse 9. And he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. I preached on children the other day. I hope you kids are paying attention. The law of God said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. In verse 11, Jesus says to the Pharisees, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect, through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. He said, you come in here and you want to accuse my disciples because they don't wash hands. It's a tradition of men. And all the while you're making accusation, judging others because they don't keep tradition, you have abandoned the word of God for your tradition. You don't curse your mother and father. That means you honor them. And there's no time limit to the honoring that a mother or father deserve according to the word of God. It's not, I turned 18, I'm an adult now, so I'm done honoring my mother and father. No, no, no. You honor your mother and father all the days of their lives. And to honor them means to value them, to give worth to them, to esteem them highly. And when you were in a Jewish culture and your mother and father got to the place where they could not take care of themselves, they could not physically work and do the things they needed to do, then a child would take care of their parent. But the tradition of the rabbis gave them an excuse. If you have dedicated your money to the Lord, then you can't take it from the Lord and use it for your parents. That would be wrong. And so they would take a sum of money and they would give it and dedicate it and say, this is for the Lord. It's Corban. This is a gift for the Lord. So that's a better thing, a holier thing than to give my money to mom and dad because I've given it to God. And so they use their tradition as a loophole to get around taking care of mom and dad. They would just redirect that money somewhere else and say, oh, I can't give that to mom and dad. That's a gift to God. And so by their tradition, they made the commandment of God of none effect. Well, what's it come down to? Well, they must have had a really big heart for God to do that. Exodus 21:17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 20 and verse 9, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And Proverbs 20 and verse 20 says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. You say, well, they just took that money and gave it somewhere else. That's not cursing them exactly. It's not like they cursed them out. Well, you know what Jesus said? He said they were cursing their mother and father. I'm pretty sure when I look at the text, that's exactly what Jesus says. He says by saying it's a gift and not taking care of their mother and father, not honoring them the way God said, by not honoring them, they were cursing them. And we can play with the words all that we want to, but the reality is it comes down to our heart. And if we love God, we'll love His commandments, and keeping His commandments will not be grievous to us. It won't be a heavy burden. It won't be a weight for us to do what God calls us to do because we love Him and we love His Word. But when we don't really know God, we can't love God. And if we don't love God, we'll never be able to keep His commandments. And whatever we did in the name of the commandments without love, it would be sin. And so these men never had a chance. They could wash their hands all they want to, but they're denying Christ who's standing right in front of them. They can wash their hands and their plates and their bowls and their cups and the tables. They can wash everything in the whole village. It doesn't matter. They're not clean because they're not clean in their hearts. And no matter how many ceremonial things that we do, no matter how many prayers we pray, no matter how many devotionals we read, no matter how many song services we sit through, no matter how many times we amen the sermon, no matter how many outward things that we do, if our hearts are not right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, it's all worthless. Because it's filthy. Because God is looking at our heart first. But when you've repented of your sin and you've trusted Christ and you're clean on the inside, then all of those outward things become beautiful. Then all those outward things become an act of worship, a demonstration of praise. Then when we come to church, God is pleased and honored because from a pure heart we come to worship Him. When we open our Bibles and we read and we're studying His Word to know Him, He's honored and He's pleased with that because out of a heart of desiring to know Him, we're demonstrating our love for Him. When we proclaim the gospel to somebody else, it's out of a heart of love for Him and for the lost, and God is pleased with that. You see, it changes everything when you get your heart right with the Lord. And the Pharisees simply didn't have a right heart. They were cleaner than anyone on the outside, but they were filthier than everyone on the inside. Tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, I'm not trying to call anybody a Pharisee here tonight, but I want to tell you this. If you've never repented and trusted Christ as your Savior, you're worse off than any Pharisee, or just as bad as any Pharisee. And I want to tell you this. You may have been saved for a long, long time, and you may be standing proudly on the truth of the Word of God. I hope you are. But we better be careful to not act like a Pharisee in our judgment of other people. We have to love everyone, be courteous to everyone, and show the love of Christ to everyone. Let's stand together. We're going to sing one number.
Page 559.
Number 559, if the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, maybe you've judged someone. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness, or maybe you just need to ask God to help you to love others. Whatever it is, you come while we sing.